May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy Spirit guide. Hymn 904.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the prophecy of Zechariah and chapter 8. The prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvellous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbour. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbour. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbour, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, The fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amen. May the Lord bless that portion of his word and help his servant to pray.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we need thee now to solemnise our minds and our hearts as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we pray that thou wilt draw us away from the things of time and of this world, that our hearts and our affections may be set on things above. And oh, we would pray with the spouse of old when she said, Draw me, and we will run after thee. Oh, may we know in our souls the sweet drawing of thy love. And, O Lord, as we gather to worship thee at this evening hour, we pray that thou would abide with us, as thou didst to those too that journeyed to Emmaus. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, may we be favoured, Lord, to know and to feel thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and within these walls. We may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but thee. And oh, may we be favoured, Lord, with a glimpse of thyself, a glimpse of Jesus only. We pray that thou wilt soften our hearts, Lord. We mourn because of the hardness and coldness and rebelliousness of our hearts so often. And oh, that we may know that true soft heart before thee, and that we may be given, Lord, that needed grace to confess our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, O Lord, we would come as a poor, repenting sinner to thy dear feet, are begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, we would come with the dear hymn writer when he said, "Mercy through blood, I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me." Oh, that we may have the religion of the dear publican, that we might, as he did, smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Oh, Lord, may we know the application of thy precious blood, that precious blood that cleanses the blackest and vilest of sinners of all sin. Oh, we would come with the hymn writer when he said, "Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." Lord, thou knowest this night how many of us truly feel the need of that washing, the need of that cleansing from all sin and from all uncleanness. Know that we may be favoured with a sweet sense of blood-bought pardon and the sweet peace of Calvary. As one of old said, "This glorious man, thy peace shall be." Lord, do help those that are cast down, Lord, many things to cast thy dear people down. But, O Lord, thou canst lift them up. Do help each longing, seeking soul, and many things to cast them down, to look wholly to thee. For thou hast said in thy word, "Let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids straight before thee." Oh, may we ever be, dear Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we have that singleness of eye, Lord, and turn the eye of faith to look wholly to thee. And oh, may it please thee to come to each burdened soul. Thou knowest, Lord, the great burdens that many carry. And thou alone canst enable them, Lord, to cast them upon thee, to leave them at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised, "I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply." And, O Lord, those that are under heavy loads, we pray for that sustaining, upholding grace to be given. The Lord, who can hold us up but thou? And, O, we pray for that grace to be given to us, that we might endure to the end, that we may hold on our way. Oh, do make us steadfast, Lord, and unmovable. May we not be left to be driven about by every wind of doctrine. And oh, may our hope, our all be upon the blessed rock, Christ Jesus, that sure foundation stone. And oh, Lord, we pray for thee to quicken the dead into life. May there yet be many born again in these dark and solemn days, Lord. Nor may it be around this house of prayer an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. Lord, the power's thine. Oh, do quicken souls and make them cry, "Jesus, save me. or I die. And, oh Lord, may there be a bringing back of prodigals. Many, Lord, have forsaken Zion's ways. Thou knowest where they each are now, whether in the world or in a form of religion. We pray that thou would open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. May there be many brought to hear the voice of the Son of God and to live. And O Lord, may it please thee to work in thee, dear children, dear young people. We pray thou wilt put thy tender filial fear in their hearts. May they have an aching void which this world can never fill. And have the religion of dear Ruth of old, and cleave to thee, dear Lord, and cleave to thy people, and to thy truth, and to thy ways, and to thy house. Oh, do keep them from the snares of Satan and of sin. And hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. And may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And, oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt work mightily in those thou hast begun thy work in, that there may be many established in the truth, and that there may be those raised up, Lord, to be faithful servants of thine throughout the churches. Lord, we would pray for all in affliction, many laid aside, and oh, we beg, if it's thy will, thou wilt grant that needed healing and restoring mercies. And oh, we pray for thy will to be done. And dear Lord, do remember those that are in deep affliction, and thy dear servants too. And oh, if it would please thee, do raise them up once more to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. But Lord, we pray to be submissive to thy will. And oh, who ever keep us from murmuring and complaining. We pray that where affliction does abound, that grace may be given to bear it. May thy dear people and thy servants know that sweet sustaining grace. And, O Lord, who comfort all that are bereaved and all that are sorrowful. Lord, who dry up the tears of the weepers. And may their tears, Lord, of sorrow and of grief and of anguish be turned into tears of joy. Oh Lord, we pray thou wilt bless our dear age friends, many throughout Zion, Lord, feel much the mud wall cottage shake. Oh, do come and assure them that it is well with them, while life endures, and well when called to die. And may we each, dear Lord, be prepared for that great day when flesh and blood shall fail. We shall launch in worlds unknown and see thee on thy judgment throne. Lord, may the concern and exercise of the dear hymn writer be the great concern of our souls. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? O heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? O Lord, do come and settle our hearts and grant us that sweet assurance. It is well while life endures and well when called to die. Do bless this corner of thy vineyard. We pray for thee to work mightily here and in our own flock at home and throughout Zion. And oh, may thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And oh, may we yet see better days in the churches, Lord, a gracious reviving of thy work. And oh, Lord, do give us faith to believe thou wilt perform, thou wilt work, thou wilt do those things that are impossible with men, for all things are possible with thee. And help the deacons, Lord, and grant them, we pray, that guidance and direction in the choice of the hymns. And may their great concern be that those hymns may be thy choice and not theirs. But oh, we pray thou wilt favour us to know the realities of what we sing. And dear Lord, may thy name be honoured and glorified. Oh, do help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies, in providence and in grace, and all thy favours. And do bless the Sabbath school, Lord, and help those that lovingly teach the dear children. And may it be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. And oh, we pray that thou would help thy servants. Grant them, Lord, that gracious anointing, and they may be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And do bless the word preached, Lord, here and throughout the earth, and may there be real fruit to follow. Oh, do add to the churches, as thou hast promised, such as should be saved. Lord, may there be that real travail, that there may be a bringing forth. And oh, we pray thou would appear in the nation to remember our Queen and bless her and Prince Philip and those in the royal household with all the riches of thy grace. Turn their feet, Lord, from serving sin and Satan to serve thee. And may our rulers and leaders, Lord, be turned to look to thee for wisdom and understanding and grace to do thy will in all the affairs of this nation, in particular, Lord, concerning leaving the European Union. Oh, we beg of thee to work. Remember all in poverty throughout the earth and famine, and those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We beg of thee to appear and to make bare thine arm and put down, Lord, all the agents of Satan and that great enemy of our souls. And oh, may grace triumph and reign. Do make up in giving now where we fail in asking. And dear Lord, do forgive anything we've uttered amiss. And help us as we turn to thy holy word. Do anoint us with that heavenly oil, that we may be the Lord's messenger this night in the Lord's message. Forgive our many sins. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 976. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. Hymn 976.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 8. And the last part of verse 23. Zechariah chapter 8 and the last part of verse 23. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. The prophecy of Zechariah chapter 8 and the last part in verse 23, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. This is a most sacred and blessed chapter where our text is found. Because this is what the Lord was going to do for his dear people in Zechariah's day. Now, let us look at it in a few ways, firstly, as help before we come to the text. Jerusalem lay waste. The people, Zion, God's dear chosen people, had been in the midst of bondage and captivity. And the holy city was derelict and waste. There was no city in the eyes of the Lord like Jerusalem, God's holy city. He dwelt there. But because of the sins of the people, the inhabitants of it, he had permitted them to go into bondage and captivity. And here in this chapter, we find how wonderfully the Lord was going to work and turn their captivity and restore Jerusalem to its former glory. So there was this wonderful prospect before Zechariah and Haggai and many others that had returned. And they were given wonderful faith to believe the Lord would do it. Now when you think of the low state of Zion today and the solemn state of the nation, and for the most part, Zion lays waste. There are very few evidences of the Lord appearing. But have we a little of the faith that Zechariah had, Haggai had, and those gracious souls of old? Now, the first thing I would name is this. We read in the lesson, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." He was speaking. And what does he say concerning Zion? "I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. And I was jealous for her with great fury." You see, the Lord is a jealous God. He's very jealous of his people. There's no people to him like his dear children, his dear people. Why? Because he had loved her and he loved those here, not that he loved the sin that they had been in days past to enter into, but he loved them with an everlasting love. He was jealous of their heart. He wanted them to truly serve him and no other. Let us bring it home to us here. Are we true servants of the living God? you go to Mount Carmel, when Elijah sought to show the worshippers and prophets of Baal who was the living God in Israel. And he put this searching question to them, didn't he? Why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And you know how the Lord wonderfully heard the prayer of dear Elijah, and the Lord sent that fire from heaven to prove that he was the living God of Israel, and it was him they should serve and no other. A jealous God. One of the old preachers used to say this: the Lord will have all the sinner's heart or none of it. So you think how solemn if we are only partly serving the Lord and then serving ourselves and serving the world or serving man. Many do. So that is the first thing for us to prayerfully lay to heart this evening. The second thing was this: thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. What a wonderful word, isn't it? I will return to Zion. Let me just pause a moment here, because they'd known ever so much weeping and mourning and grieving in the days past. These dear men and all those that were to return. There may be those of you tonight that have things in your heart and in your pathway and in your afflictions that make you weep and mourn. Your sin within. But oh, what a blessed day it will be, won't it, in your soul and in mine and in the churches, if the Lord fulfill this word. I am returned. He didn't say may do, or they got to do this and that and then he would return. I am returned, he says, unto Zion. And may the Lord grant it in this dark and solemn day, the Lord once again returning in the power of the Spirit like he did in days past. You think of the Reformation. You think of those days of real prosperity in our churches. May there be yet again a day of returning. I was reading the other Lord's Day evening a little of the old hymn writers, you know, and the experiences of them. And I think it was Benjamin Francis, if I remember rightly. He was pastor down near Stroud in Gloucestershire. And he was pastor there, and he was a poor, illiterate people. And the Lord wonderfully blessed his ministry there. And he was there for 42 years as pastor. And it says that during those 42 years, the Lord added to his church 432. What a day it must have been. We think, and I've been reading of Mr. Cowper, the first pastor at the Dicker, you know, and his first 15 months as pastor, there were 60, over 60 added to the church. The Lord wonderfully had returned, you see. And he says, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. This is what we want to feel, isn't it? The Lord in the midst, when we gather for worship, or when we walk personally, each of us, in our afflictions, the Lord in the midst of that affliction, that'll make the bittersweet. In the midst of your trials, we think of, we hinted at Job last evening, but you think of how the dear man in all that trial and fiery furnace he had to walk through, and yet he didn't walk it alone, did he? The Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, in the fiery furnace, one there like unto the Son of Man in that fire with them, the Lord in the midst. And then you think of the two thieves upon the cross beside the Lord Jesus, and what will we read? Jesus in the midst. Now here he says, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. May we be given fervent resting prayer the Lord would fulfill this in our hearts. And you know, if there's to be prosperity in the churches, it'll begin in the hearts of the people. Oh, it will. You know, if you look back at the day of Pentecost, when the Lord so blessed the ministry of dear Peter, it began in the heart first, and then it flowed through into the church. And Jerusalem shall be called, and listen to this, a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, the city of truth. And you see, a real child of God that's born of the Holy Spirit, all they want is truth. And what is that truth? It's Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the pure truth, you see, and the pure gospel truth. That may be searching, it may be very discriminating, which the carnal man doesn't like. But you see, to a living child of God, all they want is truth. And the truth will set them free. And the truth will do them good. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But then, think of the city of Jerusalem and what the Lord recorded here, what would take place. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. You see, so many times throughout this chapter, it's endorsed with the most divine authority the word can ever be endorsed with. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. It wasn't what Zechariah said. It's not what I say tonight. It's what the Lord has said. And what did he say? There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. This was what would, it was so different in the days prior to this, the streets destitute of life, barren, but now these aged saints creeping through the streets, you see, enjoying the sweet presence of their dear Redeemer with them as they come down to the swellings of Jordan. leaning upon their staff, leaning not only on that staff naturally, but leaning upon the Lord, you see. It's the safest place, child of God, you can ever lean, and I can, upon the Lord. Think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. The hymn writer took it up beautifully when he said, "On her beloved, Lord, she leans." You lean on the Lord, poor soul, for everything, for time and for eternity. And you see, the harder the child of God leans, the more they approve his goodness and his faithfulness. But then too, not only in the streets of the city would be these aged saints, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Now this is what the Lord has said he would do. There was going to be, you see, again, liberty in the city. They couldn't play in the streets and lanes of the city without there being liberty, could they? And not only this, it was a prospect for the future, you see. Many of our, and I say it lovingly tonight, many of our causes have just got older people in them. Not that I despise them, God forbid I should ever suggest it, but the point is, what about the future? You see, the future is in the next generation. And all that the Lord would so work, as I tried to pray in prayer, that there might be that tender fear of God put in the boys and girls and the youth of today. Like it was in days past, where many of the young ones were called by grace as even children. And looking at it naturally, boys and girls playing in the streets, they were happy, free, at liberty. Think about it spiritually. Oh, to go into the streets and lanes and cities of God's holy word and draw from it, like the youth do in the city and did in Jerusalem. It was a happy day. You see, there had not been these seen for years. But now there was such a returning of the Lord, and these young brought forth, even in the streets and lanes of the city. Now this is what the Lord was going to do, you see. The restoration of Jerusalem. And it was wholly God's work from beginning to end. And that's why it would stand. And if you and I, poor soul, have got the work of God in us, it'd be that work that'll stand, not yours and not my work. Solemn thing if we rest on our works, isn't it? But there's another just brief point that I want to just name before we come to the text. And I'll leave it for your further meditation as you go through this chapter. But you see, not only were there to be these things, but there was to be real prosperity. Even in a, firstly, in a natural way. And what do we read? Instead of the waste city, no growth, no prosperity, now there was going to be this. For the seed shall be prosperous. You know, it's one thing for the husbandman to go and sow a load of seed in his field, and that be seed that is dead and no life in it. There will never be prosperity in that. I remember some years ago, and having worked in the corn trade many years of my life, I know a little bit about it. But you know, when I lived in Kent, on one occasion a man put the wrong chemicals in the dressing of the seed that we were to put out to the farmers. And what happened? It killed the germination. They planted it. Nothing came up. It was dead. No prosperity. But you see, it's the Lord that gives the increase. Now here he says, for the seed shall be prosperous. Now look at it naturally. There may be things that you're in your business or in your pathway. What you long for is for it to prosper, don't you? And if it prospers, it grows. It increases. And it was so different there here in Jerusalem and in the area surrounding it. Now the Lord had sent this prosperity. There was the springing forth of the seed. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It was to bring forth fruit, you see. Increase. But think about it spiritually. You know, you have many sermons by many God-given faithful ministers. They sow the word. It's one of the occupations of a true servant of God, to sow the seed. It's only the Lord that can give the increase. But as that seed falls, what sort of ground does it fall on? Well, you have the illustration in the Gospels, what Jesus said, didn't he? Some fell by the wayside, some upon the rocks. But oh, that which fell on good ground. And we need, don't we? The Lord did it in Jerusalem. He prepared it all. What we need is our hearts prepared to receive the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed of God's word. It's where it falls. And may we lay that to heart, and I speak that to myself, because as I try and preach, I preach it to myself. And the Lord looks at my poor heart as he does yours. Does it fall on good ground? That it may prosper. For the seed shall be prosperous. Now there's this wonderful prospect before them, you see. They didn't sow in vain. We're often tempted, and I feel often like the Apostle Paul. I fear after preaching to others, myself shall prove to be a castaway. What real fruit is there in this solemn day in which we live? May the Lord grant that there might be a real sowing time, that there might be a harvest. Think of the promise the Lord gave to Noah and to the earth after the flood. Seed time and harvest. And wherever there's a real seed time, there must be a harvest. But he didn't say what sort of harvest it'll be. Sometimes we've sown good seed and the harvest has been poor. It's all in the hands of the Lord, you see. Looking at it in a natural way. But think about it spiritually. But then I must hasten. He says, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Oh, you think, what a wonderful word it is. May we be given a true spirit of prayer, that the Lord would so do this in this dark and solemn day in which we live. And when I say do it, don't think, well, or somewhere else, or here, there, or wherever. Think of your own heart. Lord, may it be so in me, that we might possess all these things. But I want to come to this text. It so rested upon me today, these few words. They're precious words, really. And I just want to hint at them a little this evening. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Firstly, the willingness. We will go with you. You know, the Lord will make his dear people willing to go with his people. And above that, to go with the Lord. Go back to Mount Carmel, which I mentioned earlier. There were all those that, as it looked as though they were going with Baal, the Lord so worked. What did he say to Elijah under the juniper tree? He felt he was the only one left that truly served the Lord. And what did the Lord say? I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee nor worshipped Baal. The Lord knew where they were. Oh, he did. They were willing to go with the Lord. You think of those when the Saviour was upon the earth, how willing they were to follow him. You think of those fishermen, Peter and others. He said to them, there they were, mending their nets, fishing, follow me. And he made them willing in a moment to follow him, didn't he? We will go with you. This was a God-given desire, this is. Firstly, to go with the Lord, and secondly, to go with his dear people. Well, there's some beautiful illustrations in the Word of God, and let me name just one or two. Firstly, you think of Abraham's servant, when he went forth to seek a wife for Isaac. How willing that servant was to go. But look at the errand that he went on. And the Lord wonderfully heard and answered the prayer of the dear servant, that when he got to the well, Rebekah would come forth. And the Lord heard and answered it. And she uttered the very words that he prayed she might say. Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. But then, when the hour came for him to take her back to Isaac, you know, Laban and the Bethuel wanted to keep her, didn't they? 10 days at least. But what did the servant say? Abraham's servant, he said this. It's a beautiful word, you know. I preached from it, a baptising of a dear old lady at the Dicker some years ago now. She was nearly 80, and I preach from these words, what this servant said, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. And the dear man, you see, he didn't want them to hinder him in any way taking Rebecca back, because the Lord had made it so clear that's what got to take place. But you see, she got to be made willing, hadn't she? And what did they say? We will inquire at her mouth. And what a question they put to her, didn't they? Wilt thou go with this man? That servant, you know, was really a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Wilt thou go with this man? And what did Rebecca say? I will go. Oh, look at the willingness in her. The Lord had made her willing. We will go with you. And she was absolutely willing. And I put that to you this evening and to my own heart. You know, if we really love the Lord Jesus, we will be made willing by him to go with him. We will. I will go. You know, the Lord never forces his dear people. He constrains them by his love. Oh, he does. It's like when the Saviour spoke to his dear disciples, he constrained them to get into the ship, into the boat, to go to the other side. And they were willing, you see, to go. What did the Apostle Paul say? For the love of Christ constraineth us. We will go with you. Another sweet illustration of this is in the case of dear Ruth. You remember when Naomi was to return to Bethlehem, Judah. She had been in Moab for a whole decade. And in that time, she had been in much sorrow. And you can well understand it. The great loss of her husband, the loss of her sons, firstly in marriage and then in death. And Naomi had learned under those painful circumstances, she must return to the place God had originally put her in. And that was in Bethlehem, Judah. And she puts her two daughter-in-laws to the test. Go back to thy gods and to thy people. Now what do we read concerning Orpah? She went back to her gods and to her people in Moab. That's where her heart was. But you look at dear Ruth. How willing she was to go with her. And what did she say? And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Look how willing dear Ruth was to go with her. We will go with you. Her language is what's in our text. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And you know, dear Ruth could see how the Lord was with Naomi. And that's what made her willing to go with her. You know, when the Lord shows you he's with his dear people, you'll be willing to go with them. Well, let's look at it firstly in marriage. If a marriage is of God, the Lord will be in it from beginning to end. We will go with you. You see, this will be the language of both the bride and her husband. We will go with you. Why? Because we've heard God is with you. There's that willingness to go, you see. I took a wedding of a young couple at a chapel. It was one of my nephews, must be nearly 10 years ago now. And, you know, the bride came from our chapel and her husband came from out in West Sussex, and they were so concerned because where they lived was halfway between the two chapels. And they were so concerned where they should worship. They wanted to know the Lord's will. And they tried to make it a matter of much prayer. Well, on the Sunday prior to their wedding, they came to the Dicker Chapel. It was the time for them to come, their Sunday, as it were, there. And I preached from these words in our text, "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." And you know, they were overwhelmed by it. They had said to afterwards, it was so clear where we got to dwell, where we got to worship, we will go with you. For we have heard that God is with you. And the Lord gave me that text up in the Midlands a few days before in a dream. And in this dream, there were two, one from the Dicker and one from another chapel, that came to see me regarding joining the church. And I said to them both in the dream, "Why do you feel you want to venture in the steps of the Lord's house?" And they both said the same words, and they were in our text, "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." You know, it was so real to me in this dream. I woke up and it stirred up in me a real longing for the Lord to bring them. And I still wait for one. The other has come. But the Lord gave me that text for the Lord's day, for that young couple. And you know, I often think about it when I see them in the chapel. You know, "We will go with you." The Lord made it clear. "For we have heard that God is with you." And here you think of it, these dear souls in Jerusalem. There were those that were seeing the Lord wonderfully prospering Jerusalem, and he put it in their hearts to go with them. "We will go with you." And it may be there's one here tonight that's exercising this, and you may say, "Lord, what shall we do?" May the Lord fasten this word right in your soul and mine. "We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." You know, if you're favoured to feel the Lord's sweet presence in his house, and in, as you see the ordinance of the Lord's Supper administered, and you feel him there with you. You'll want to go with the people. I may have told you before, but my late dear grandfather, you know, he was 82 when the late Mr. Mulvey baptised him at Cranbrook. And he said to me, you know, he said, I sat there and saw the Lord's Supper administered for 6 months prior to him coming, and he said, I felt such a love to the people. He said, in the end, I said to the Lord, I'll go for all his paths of peace. They're beautiful words, aren't they? You think of it, that beautiful hymn, 144. I'll go. The willingness the Lord gives to his dear children. I will go. We will go. You see, that meant, he said, it meant it was in the plural. It didn't just mean the one. I remember the Lord showed me when I was at Ashwell that two, he'd bring two, you know. And the Lord showed it to me. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And I knew as soon as the Lord spoke that word to me, they'd come together, and they did. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Ruth had heard, and she'd seen how the Lord was with dear Naomi. Rebecca had heard and seen that the Lord was with that dear servant and with Isaac. And you think how immediately when she returned with the servant, how immediately as when Isaac was out in the field meditating and she inquired who it was, she immediately went to him, didn't she? Why? Because the Lord was with him. Well, I must leave it because of the time, but may the Holy Spirit, I've only scratched around the surface of this evening, but you think of those that journeyed to Emmaus. I mentioned them in prayer this evening. You know, when Jesus himself drew near and went with them, how willing they were to go, weren't they? They knew as they journeyed that journey, the sweet and sacred presence of the dear Redeemer with them. It's like I said in prayer too, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And oh, you know, when you can feel him there, you'll be willing to go for all his paths of peace. Well, of course, the day will come when we shall have to leave this world. But oh, to be with the dear Redeemer forever in glory. What a blessed exchange, won't it be? Where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. There have been those sweet tastes of heaven begun below here, but oh, to enter into the fullness of it in glory and crown him Lord of all. And you see, for us to be willing, he'll make our hearts soft and tender so we're submissive to all his will and to obey his voice.
God willing, Mr. Ian Sadler will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 294. Jesus, at thy command, I launch into the deep, and leave my native land where sin lulls all asleep. For thee I would the world resign, and sail to heaven with thee and thine. Hymn 294.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Oh, do bless thy own word to our souls. May we not leave it on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the boys. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.